Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Sukkah Chaf Dalet. We actually proceeded pretty far down the Amud yesterday, but perhaps let's just go back for a quick Chazara, starting from towards the top. So it will be four lines from the top of the Amud. It says the Gemara Kasha, the Rabbi Meir ad Rabbi Meir. We seem to have a stira within Rabbi Meir Shita himself. What is the Gemara referring to? So yesterday we had a shaila, whether a person can use a bal chai, a behemoth, an animal, as a doifin for his sukkah. Rabbi Meir says, don't use an animal. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's kosher. And Abai explained that Rabbi Meir's cheshish lemisa, and perhaps this animal will die throughout Yom Tov, it's going to shrink, and your doifin will no longer be valid. Rabbi Yehuda is not cheshish lemisa. Taisus explains that the background of this machlokes is as follows. What does this hinge on? You see, misa is inevitable. However, currently speaking, there's a chazaka. The animal is alive. Let's assume he'll continue as such. A person is alive. Let's assume the chazaka will continue. However, says Taisus, there's a difference between this chazaka and your typical chazaka, because here it's a chazaka which is osei l'ishtanos. It's inevitable that it's going to change down the road. It's going to be misa. So that's the point of machlekes. And Taisus explains, of course, lizman meruba, as a long-term proposition, certainly there's a valid chashash of misa. It's inevitable. The shaila here is whether to be choshesh for misa in the short term, lizman muat. So we have a chazaka of chai. Do we have to be choshesh that there's going to be a sudden change in the long, in the short term? And that's the machlokes, explains Taisus. Arita says, no, there's a chazaka of chai. So the animal is going to remain alive throughout Yom Tov. We discussed a kayin who is alive, and we assume that he's going to continue in that state, and therefore his wife can continue eating truma. Whereas Rav Meir's cheshish lemisa, even in this case, even if it's an immediate chashash, lezman muot, this eshes kayin cannot rely on the chazaka, which is going to change sooner or later. Likewise, when it comes to sukkah, Rav Meir says, you cannot use an animal as a doifin for your sukkah. It might die throughout Yom Tov and shrink in size. So on the one hand, we see Rav Meir's choshesh for any of these unforeseen circumstances, misa. Whereas when it comes to the other mishnah of truma, he's not so concerned about some type of circumstance which might go ahead and interfere with his truma. We're speaking about doing brera, where we had the case where he purchased the yayin from the kutim. It's a minute before Shabbos. He has no opportunity to get kelim and be mafresh the truma. Rav Meir says, don't worry, do a truma using brera. Say, the wine which I'm going to be mafresh eventually is now being considered truma. The maser, which eventually I'm going to separate, I am now declaring as maser, etc., etc. That was Shitas Rav Meir. And he's not choshesh that perhaps some mishap will occur, in which case the container will crack and the wine will flow out, in which case he won't ever come to complete the process, right? It's a pending procedure. It's initiated now, pending further completion. Rav Meir is not choshesh that perhaps something will happen which will interfere with his ability to be goymer that masa afrosha, i.e. actually separate the truma and maser after Shabbos. So we're not choshesh about unforeseen circumstances, about losing his wine along the way. And that's a stira with Rav Meir. When it comes to behema first sukkah, he says, don't use the animal, chayshina and lemisa. When it comes to bimafresh, the wine, depending on the brera, right, the brera procedure, there's no concern about leakage and breakage. What's the pshat? Kasha de Rav Meir, ad Rav Meir. Says the Gemara, Amalach Rav Meir. There's a difference. Misa shchicha. Misa is inevitable, and it's shchiach. Bikias hanoid le shchicha. However, breakage of that noid, of that container holding the wine, isn't necessarily something you have to be concerned with. It's not shchiach. Efshar de masa le shomer. You can give it over to a shomer to keep an eye on it, to keep it safe and secure. Says the Gemara, okay, you've addressed Rav Meir. Now, what about Rabbi Yehuda? Kashya ad Rabbi Yehuda. We have a steer within Rabbi Yehuda. when it comes to using an animal as a doifin l'sukkah, no problem. When it comes to be mafresh truma and maser from this wine, relying on the breder procedure, so initiate it now, conclude it after Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow. The Gemara is assuming. He's concerned about breakage and leakage. He might lose that wine, in which case he'll never come to conclude the truma and maser. So why is it when it comes to misa, he's not choshesh for sudden misa? When it comes to the wine, he seems to be choshesh about sudden loss. Answers the Gemara, no, that's not the pshat in Rabbi Yehuda. Talmud Rabbi Yehuda lav mishum de chayish lepikias noid. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow the breder procedure to be initiated is unrelated to concerns about bikias hanoid, breakage of that container. Ela mishum de lesle breira. It's because he doesn't subscribe to the concept of breira. You can't begin a process now relying on concluding it later. You can't do that. It's either you do it or you don't. So it's an account of a halachic concern that he disagrees, that he objects to Rabbi Meir's procedure. Says the Gemara v'leichayish, Rabbi Yehuda l'pkias noid, is that so? That the reason why Rabbi Yehuda objects to Rabbi Meir's procedure is unrelated to breakage of that noid? Take a look at the Mishnah itself of Mektani Seifa. The Mishnah continues, Amru loid Rabbi Meir. The other Tanaim addressed Rabbi Meir as follows. You allow this procedure? Iyata moid. Don't you agree? Aren't you concerned? Shema yibaka hanoid. Maybe the noid, the container holding that wine, will crack. Allow the wine to leak out. He'll never come to be mafresh the truma or maaser. What happens then? V'nimtza ze shoyse tevel l'mafrei. Or turn out this fellow drank tevel retroactively. Because the heter to drink that wine throughout Shabbos is based on the fact that eventually he's going to complete the Truma Maser procedure, which is not going to happen if that wine leaks out. Why don't you have that concern? Varmalu, Rabbi Meir responds, look at Shibaka. We'll worry about it when it happens. Meaning, as the Gemara said before, he'll give it to a Shomer. It's not inevitable. Be careful. Make sure that he has wine after Shabbos to complete the Truma Maser process. In any case, what do we see? As per Rabbi Yehuda's reason, why does he object? He just said so. He said because the wine is going to get lost. He's afraid about that noid cracking and the wine leaking out. It's pretty clear that's the reason for his objection. Says Gemara, no, that wasn't his personal reason. He was just using that as an argument relative to Rav Meir. Hasam Rav Yehuda d'ka'amalei l'Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda was related to Rav Meir's shita. L'didi lesli breira. You know, the truth is, I don't subscribe to breira. Min HaTorah, you can't even do this process on halachic grounds. So that's out. Ela l'didach d'yesh breira. However, according to you, you're Rav Meir. You hold of breira. Okay, I'll relate to you on your wavelength. Even if breira is a valid procedure, but in this case, aren't you concerned? Perhaps the container will get damaged and the wine will leak out. In which case, even according to you, since he didn't complete the afrasha of Truma or Maser, he has drunk Tevel, Mafreya. Amalei l'kshi baka. May response. We'll worry about it when it happens. Meaning, I'm not concerned. He can give it over to somebody to keep an eye on it. So we answered both kashas. On the one hand, we say Rav Meir is chayshesh lemisa by the animal being used for a doifin l'sukkah. When it comes to wine, we'll give it over to a shomer to keep it under guard. Rabbi Yehuda is not chayshesh lemisa. That's why he allows the behemoth to be used as a doifin for his sukkah. The reason why he objects to this breira procedure is simply because he doesn't hold of breira. Says the Gemara, "V'le'chayish Rabbi Yehuda l'misa." Is that so? The Rabbi Yehuda is not chayish for sudden death. But Tanan, we have a Mishnah back in the beginning of Yuma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, "Af isha acheres maskinin loy." Just as they would designate a backup kohen gadol just in case he becomes tamei. So he's a designated substitute. Likewise, says Rabbi Yehuda, having a wife is crucial for the success of the Kohen Gadol's kapara. It says, V'chiper ba'ado yubad beisai, husband and wife are one unit. And therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, not only the designated backup Kohen Gadol, afisha acheres maskinle, Shema Thomas Ishtoi, they would designate a substitute wife for that Kohen Gadol, just in case his wife dies. Tesis Yishanim and Yuma has two tzadim, whether or not the lack of an Isha is actually ma'akim de kapara or not, but certainly it's a positive element within the kapara procedure. Rabbi Yehuda requires a backup, just in case there's Misa. How is this compatible with our sugya? But Rabbi Yehuda is not choishish l'misa. Ha'itmar Allah says the Gemara, but haven't we given up shot on that halacha Amar Rav Huna, Braid Rabbi Yeshua, Ma'ala also b'kapara. It wasn't halachically mandated. It was an extra mala, extra stringency on account of the kapara and the tremendous importance attached to the kapara procedure throughout Yom Kippur. So that's why we went beyond the norm to ensure a successful kapara, and we designated even a backup Isha for that purpose. So let's go over to Rashi here. 10 lines, 11 lines from the top of the Amud. Maskinilei mezamnin the Kohen Gadol erev Yom Kippurim, they would reserve for him an extra wife. Shema Thomas Ishtei v'chiv v'chiper ba'adei v'ad beisei beisei zei Ishtei. The reason is, says the Gemara, b'kapara. B'kapara zei Yom Kippurim also by ma'ala zu shechashash ba b'midid lechayish ba'am. Although Rabbi Yehuda isn't necessarily concerned about sudden unannounced death, but when it comes to kapara, which is so important, so crucial, he did an extra ma'ala above and beyond the required. Now, actually, the Chacham disagreed. They held that, you know, it's a never-ending proposition. If you have a second wife, and you have a third wife, and a fourth wife, therefore the Chacham disagreed. But in any case, Rabbi Yehuda holds this is a proper thing to do. However, generally speaking, min hadin, v'nan choshesh, for misal is man muat. Continues the Gemara. So let's go back to Shitas Rav Meir, who doesn't allow using a behema as a doifen for a sukkah. The Gemara had two pshatim yesterday. Abaye was chashinan lemisa. Rabbi Zera was concerned about escaping. The animal might run away. Says the Gemara, bein lemada omar shema Thomas, whether according to Abaye, that the reason is because of chashash misa. Bein lemada omar shema tivrach, whether according to Rabbi Zera, the chashash is, the animal might run away. It seems pretty clear, says the Gemara, that midai rais a mechitza ma'ali, menatera, it's a proper mechitza, v'rabbanon hu d'gazer bo. These chashashes, these concerns, were presented by the rabbanon. But it seems that menatera, it's a valid mechitza. Even an animal is considered a mechitza. Ela me'at, if that's the case, the Rabbi Meir, titami mishem goylel. If menatera, it's a proper mechitza, then sure, we can be machmer, and not allow it to be used for a sukkah, but you can't be mekel. You can't say that this chashash, this gzera of Shema Thomas, Shema Tivrach, can generate a kula as well. You can't do that. A gzera can only add stringencies. It can't detract. And therefore, says the Gemara, why is an animal not going to have tumas goyla? Goyla is the cover over the coffin, which has a special tuma. The Gemara told us yesterday, according to our mayor, an animal doesn't have that tuma because an animal can't serve as a mechitza. Well, now you're being mekel. If they're not tira, even an animal is a mechitza, then an animal should have tumas goylo. Ala matnan. So why did we learn in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda matame mishum goylo? Rabbi Yehuda considers an animal to be a mechitza and becomes tame mishum goylo for being matire. He says it's tar. If the whole reason why an animal is unfit for sukkah is merely a chashash to rabbanon, that could not possibly affect it didn't have Torah to the extent of Kula to say that it's Tahir. So the Gemara now reverts. Apparently, the correct Pshat and Rameir is unrelated to Chashash Misa, Chashash of escaping. Rather, Rameir does not consider an animal to be a Mechitza Min HaTorah. That's why it doesn't conform to the Goylal guidelines and it's not considered a Mechitza for that as well. Ela Omar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Kasav Rav Meir, Kol Mechitza, Shemedes Beruach Eina Mechitza. Rav Meir holds that min haTorah mechitza, which is sustained, supported by ruach, by air, by wind, by spirit, is not a mechitza. Why? Because it's not something tangible. Rashi says it's not a davar sheish bei mamish. And therefore, an animal which is being held up by ruach, some spirit holding him up, that's not a mamashis, which can be used for mechitza throughout the Torah. Whether if it's going to generate a chumra or a kula, it's not a mechitza. So it's not kosher for a sukkah, and it does not have tumas goydel, which is also a mechitza-related concept. That's one pshat. Ika de Amri, there's another version of Amar of Acha bar Yaakov. Kasav Rabbi Meir, kol mechitza she'ena asuya bidei Adam ena mechitza. Mechitza which isn't man-made is not considered a mechitza. An animal is not man-made, it's not a mechitza, whether for sukkah, whether for goylel. My binayu, is any halachic nafka, meaning between the two pshatim? Whether the deficiency is based on that it's something which is ruach related, or the chesaron is because it's not man-made. Says the word, there is enough kamin. Ike binayu, de ukma benud tafuach. He took his sukkah and he suspended, he supported it with a noid tafuach. Noid is this leather container, blown up. He took a balloon. He manually blew it up and used that as a daifen, or to support his daifen. So now we have enough kamina. Is it going to be kasher? Well, it depends on the reason. Laman damar mechitza, oymedas beruach in a mechitza. If the reason why an animal is unfit is because it's oymedas beruach, it's sustained and supported by something which isn't tangible, spirit, wind, air. Harei oymedas beruach, this case as well, a balloon is filled with air and cannot be used for mechitza. Laman damar, eina asui bidei adam. Well, according to the other approach, that unless it's man-made, it doesn't work. Well, in this case, it's a balloon. Who blew up the balloon? Hari asuy bnei adam. It's a man-made phenomenon. Therefore, it's going to be served. It's going to serve as a mechitza. Let's go back to Rashi here on Chavdal Amud Aleph. So it's going to be six lines from the bottom, right in the middle of that line. Ruach Chaim. It says, as Rashi, Ruach Chaim live bidei adam hu. Sharein ruach biyadoi lenapchay. So my two pshat, either because it's lav bidei adam, and an animal is not considered a man-made thing, ein ruach biyadoi lenapchay. A person can't ingest the spirit into the animal. That's the first pshat. That's one pshat. The other pshat is haymedes beruach al yidei ruach. If it's supported and sustained by ruach, by wind, by air, by spirit. Lav mechitza hi, the ikar amidoso davar she'ein b'mamashu. So you have the two pshatim in the Gemara. Either it's because it's being supported, sustained by ruach, which is not davar she'esh b'mamash. So that refers to wind, air, or the spirit within the animal. The other pshat was an animal is not man-made, and therefore it's not considered a mechitza. And what's the nafkimina? De ukma benoit tafuach. Samacha doifen, ahanoid tafuach beruach. He supported his wall on this blown up balloon. Ruach, that's ruach, and it doesn't work. But if it's a question of bidei adam, hariyasui bidei adam. De ruach se bidei adam ba. This ruach was produced by a person. It's a man made balloon. So that's nafkimina. Now, Tosfos in Erevin points out that when we speak about the mechitza needing to be something man-made, it doesn't necessarily mean that a person actually has to make that mechitza for it to be valid. In fact, at Tosfos, you could have a natural landmark which is considered a mechitza. You have a pit in the ground, which is a natural thing. It's also fine. Asuyubi, the other explains Tosfos, means that the material, the way the mechitza is made, this type of thing can theoretically have been produced by a man, as opposed to an animal, which cannot be man-made, unless you make it golem. But typically, it's not something man-made. And that's not called bidei adam, as opposed to a hill or a pit. Even though it's not actually man-made, but the tsura samachitza, the form, the material, the way it's made can't theoretically be a man-made thing, and therefore, says Tosis, certainly even according to Reb Meir, who needs it to be b'dei Adam, that's also considered a mechitza. Tosis means a riot, the Gemara in Erevin speaks about a hill, a valley, a pit, all these natural phenomena, even according to Reb Meir, are considered to be mechitzas. So that's the maskon of the Gemara. Why can't you use a behemoth for a doifin l'sukkah according to Reb Meir? It's a chasar min ha-Torah. Whether because it's not also b'dei Adam, which is a requirement for mechitzes, or because it's something she'ein b'imamash, it's not tangible, it's wind, it's air, it's spirit, and that can't present as a barrier, as a mechitza, regarding kol ha-Torah kula. Continues the Gemara. Amar mar, let's review. Mishum Rabbi Yisrael Glili Amru, af ein koisfin olav gitinash. Rabbi Yisrael Glili adds, he says, an animal? You can't even use it to write a get on it. My time with the Rabbi Yisrael Glili. What's the pshat? The sanya. Listen to this price. The pasuk says, v'kosav lo sefer krisis v'nosam b'yodo v'shilcham ibeisim. Says the Braisa, if the Pasuk would had only have said safer, without the word vikasa, safer, ain li'ela safer, I would assume it's speaking about a parchment, that's your typical safer. The Pasuk in Yirmiyah speaks about a safer being a parchment. Let's assume safer means parchment. So divorce document can be written on parchment. Minayin l'rab is called davar. How do you know to include anything else as well? Any other writing materials? The pasuk could have simply said, "V'nosam b'yada sefer krisis." Why v'kosavla sefer krisis? It's coming to add all other materials as well. It's not only cloth, any other writing material. So why then does the pasuk single out sefer, which is parchment? You're going to include anything else, anyways. Loim to teach you that. Although you can use other materials, but they have to be similar in nature to a sefer. Ma sefer dover she'ein bo ruach chaim ve'ein ha'echol. Just as a sefer is something which is not living and doesn't eat, I've called dover she'ein bo ruach chaim ve'ein ha'echol. Likewise, if you want to write your get on anything else, it needs to follow this type of guideline. It has to be something which is not ruach chaim and doesn't eat. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yisrael Glili, a get on a baal chai is possible. Now, the Rabbanan disagree. They hold, you can write a get even on a baal chai. In fact, the Gemara in Gittin speaks about a get written on a horn of an ox. So that's when Rabbanan, how did they respond to Rabbi Yisrael Glili? Kasav b'sefer k'dekamras. If the Pasuk would have said, v'kasav lo krisis b'sefer, right? So he writes the krisis in a sefer. So yeah, the word besefer is alluding to the writing material. What you write the get on, besefer, which is cloth. Hashtachsiv sefer. But the Pasuk didn't say that. It didn't say he's going to write it besefer, because I've lost sefer. Say the Rabbanan, the word sefer is not alluding to the writing material. L'sfiras dvarim ba'amud asa. It's just describing the content. The wording within the get, the sfiras dvarim, description of events, the words of the get, the divrei haget. That's all. It's not referring to the sefer. So Rabbi Yisrael Glili's starting point was a sefer is the material on which you write the get. It's referring to cloth, and you have to add the kasav to include other materials as well. But it has to be similar to a sefer. Rabbanu say no, the word sefer is not a reference to the writing material, it's not a reference to the document itself, it's a reference to the wording within the document. If that's the case, you don't have a starting point for your drush. Says the Gemara of Rabbanon, hai v'kasav my darshibet. Okay, according to Rabbanon, that the pasuk isn't referring at all to the material on which you write the get, then why does the pasuk add the word v'kasav? See, according to Rabbi Yosi, sefer meant cloth. V'kasav came to add other materials. You needed v'kasav to broaden the horizon. But according to Rabbanon, there's no mention of cloth in the pasuk. You can write your get on anything. So what's the point of the word b'kasaf? What's it coming to include? My darshibit. Homei bailu. Rabbanan need b'kasaf to teach you another halacha. B'ksivim miskareshes. You can only megaresh isha with a written document. Ve'ena miskareshes b'kasaf. You can't use money to megaresh. Rashi says, perhaps you would equate divorce to acquisition, just like kedushin can be done with money. Give her a coin. Hariat mekadeshesli. Perhaps gerushin would work the same way. Give her a coin, l'shem gerushin, says the pasuk. V'kasav l'sev decreases. Decreases. This engagement, the gerushin only occurs through a ksav, not through kesef. Sa'gadetachamina, perhaps there would be room to think. Hoyel v'iskish, yitzil avaya. Since we find the pasuk does somewhat connect yitzia, divorce, l'avaya, to kedushin, Rashi brings the pasuk. V'yotza mebeisei, v'holcha v'hoysel ish achar. V'yotza is the gerushin. V'hoysa is kedushin. So we see that two things are somewhat related, and perhaps that would lead us to say my havaya bekesef, just as the kedushin is generated through money afitzia bekesef, likewise the gerushin kamash malon. That's what the pasuk says. Bekesef, no, only ksiva can generate gerushin. Rabbi Yisak Lili Hasvar Benali, how does he know this halacha? The pasuk of bekesef is unavailable. He already used it for the other halacha. Menali misseifa krisis nafkali. The fact that the Torah chose to place the word Sefer right next to the word Krisis, that's coming to tell you this halacha. Sefer Kursa, Vendav Acha Kursa, only a get, only a Sefer, a document, can generate that Krisis, that divorce, but nothing else. V'idach. What do Rabbanan do with this drasha? Sefer Krisis? Home Baile, they need it for something else. L'davar HaKoreis, B'nei L'beina. That the get needs to be a procedure, an event, which totally disengages them, disconnects them. Meaning, suppose he wants to condition his get on a tonight. He says, you know, I'm giving the get on condition of such and such. It's only going to work if it's a short-term condition. But if this condition generates a lifelong commitment on her account, she's completely committed to him throughout her life, because of this condition that he stipulated at the time of get, that's not a get. This get is with strings attached. So it needs to be a davar akoreis b'noi l'bino. That's what we learn from the word sefer krisis, complete cutoff. Kedesanya, as the Brisa will present for us, hareza gitech amanas shleitish diyayin. Gives her a get on condition you don't drink wine. Amanas shleitechi l'beis avech l'oilam. On condition that you don't enter your father's home, la'olam, forever. And by the way, Teresa asks, her father's not going to be around forever. So Teresa says it means her father's estate, her father's family, his children, his grandchildren. So you won't have anything to do. You won't go into any of those homes forever. And he's a crisis. It doesn't work. You know why? Because it's not a cutoff. It's not a disengagement. She's completely attached to him. She's committed to him and to his conditions for the rest of her life. So that's not a valid get. However, kol shleishim yayim, how is it krisis? If his tnai is merely a limited tnai, a 30-day tnai, you won't drink wine for the next 30 days, that works. Because after 30 days, commitment's over. Therefore, Rashi says, the get is actually chal right now. Because there's nothing deficient within the get. So this halacha is learned from sefer krisis. It has to be a sefer which generates krisis, cutting off, v'idach. Now the problem is that according to Rabbi Yisak Lili, this drasha was already used for something else. It was used to tell us that gerushin can only take place through a sefer without, and not money. So how does he know this halacha, v'idach? Rabbi Yisak Lili, mikaris krisis nafka. Could have said sefer karis, krisus, we use it for a drasha. It has to be something that cuts off. V'idach, what do Rabbanan do with that extra vavsaf, krisus? Karis krisus le'dashi. They don't expound on karis krisus. It's a derech of the pasuk. And we don't need to apply a drasha to it. So conclusion, we had a shaila whether or not a person can write a get on a baal chai. Rabbanan says yes, Rabbi Yisak Lili says no. The Gemara brings a brisa which presents the two shittes, which are based on the same pasuk. Pasuk says, "V'kasav la sefer krisis v'nasam biyada." Rabbanan learn as follows. The word v'kasav comes to tell you that Eidah miskareshes b'kasav. Gerushin only takes place through a sefer, through a ksiva. The word sefer is not referring to the cloth, the material. It's just sfiras tzvarim. He has to write these words, which are going to describe what's happening, the event of the gerushin. Sefer krisus tells you it has to be a true disengagement. The gerushin has to be kairis, as opposed to applying some sort of condition, which is going to be a lifelong condition. Krisus is not applied for drasha. Basically, he learns. The kasav is telling you, you can write it on anything, but you're limited. Sefer tells you it has to be something similar to a cloth, to the extent that it's ein bo yiru achayim, so an animal is no good. Ein bo yiru achayim ve'ein ha'eichel. Sefer krisus tells you that the only way to be megarish is through a sefer, as opposed to money. The extra vav saf krisus, that has to be davar hakuris b'noi l'b'no, as opposed to a lifelong t'nai. Continues the Mishnah. If a person positions his sukkah right between the trees, using the trees as walls, sukkah is kosher. Amar of Achabar Yaakov called Machitza she'ena yichayla lamed beruch matzuya ena machitza. You meant to know that a machitza which sways in the wind, it can't withstand even a common gust of wind, that's not called a machitza. Let's go over to Rashi. Right off to the left. Ben Ilonis, so he put his sukkah between the trees, baritz, of course it was planted on the ground, meaning the sukkah is not sitting on a tree, which would create Shabbos and Yontif complications we had in the previous Mishnah. Here he places a sukkah on the floor, he places a schach on stilts, on poles, whatever it is, and everything is down on the floor, or even perhaps on the trees. But the bottom line is that it doesn't have to go up. The floor is the aretz. So he's using the trees as walls. And the Gemara tells us, and the Mishnah says it's good, and the Gemara continues, any mechitza which can't withstand a ruach metzuya, a common wind, what happens? The wind sways it back and forth. That's not a mechitza. And the Chazanish explains, the concern is only when the wind would sway it out of range, meaning if the wind swaying the mechitza puts it out of reach of the schach, it distances it three tvachim from the schach, it makes it possible, then you have a concern. Other farshim say, as long as it's within less than three tvachim, to and fro, you're okay, meaning if the total swing, the total gap between both sides of that swing is less than three tefachim, that's within lavad, says, well, machitza is still and standing in one place. But if the swing back and forth is three tefachim or more, then that's what the Gemara is referring to by machitza she'eino yichoyle lamoid beruach metzuya. It's not a machitza. Says the Gemara, okay, let's take a look at our Mishnah. Tanan, ha'isa sukase ben elonis. Ve'elonis tefanas lo kshira. One may use trees as walls for a sukkah. How does that work? For ka'azal va'asi, isn't the tree going back and forth? Hachamaya skin and bekoshin. Speaking about older trees, thick, stiff trees, which aren't moving too much. V'ikanoifei, what about the thin branches that are moving? The avad leibutza v'dafna, who reinforce it using palm branches, v'dafna, some other branches, who go ahead and make a weave and braid it together, keep it still and in place. Yachid Maila Meimra, if that's the case, and why discuss it? It's Pashat. What could be wrong with such a sukkah? What's the chiddush? Ma'o de tema, perhaps there is room to say, don't use it. Nigzer, dilma asal shtamushi be'ilan. There should be a gzera, perhaps, that if you use a tree as a daifin, you might actually use the tree directly. You might place something on the tree on Shabbos and Yantav, which is not permitted. Kamash malon, the chiddush is no such concern. But certainly we're speaking about a tree which is still in place. Toshma, listen to this raya. Hayisham ilan agada. We learned about the pasi berois. So you have a well, and you should say rabim. Chacham allowed the creation of a semi-enclosure which would allow carrying within that area. So you're going to place four dyumdin, right? The four L-shaped corners around the bear, which creates some sort of separation and creates it, it makes them to Rosh Hashanah Yachad. Now let's say there was a tree sitting there. Hayisham Ilan, Oy Gadar, or a stone wall, Oy Mechitzas Hakanim, a cluster of reeds. Can you use that as your L-shaped corner? Nidan Misham Dumud, you can use it as a Dumud. What do you mean? We're speaking about something which is swaying back and forth. A tree, reeds. Hasam Nami Misham Da'avid Lebehutza B'dafna. We're speaking there as well. Where he reinforced it with branches to keep it still and in place. Tosh Malzin to this right. The Mishnah says, Ilan HaMesech Al-Aretz. There's a tree, a wide tree, whose branches appear like a canopy. They spread out like a canopy. And they come all the way down to the ground. Im ein noif v'yigavayim in Aretz shloisha tfachim metalfon tachtav. If the distance between branches and the Aretz is less than 3 tfachim, you connect it using lovet, and you can carry underneath that entire tree, surrounded with a machitza. Says the Gemara, how can you use branches which sway back and forth as a machitza? Amai, hoka ozel va'asi, swaying back and forth with a ruach mitzuya. Some nami, says the Gemara, the avalei butz of a dafna, was speaking that he reinforced it using branches. Yachi, if that's the case, that what? That he himself went ahead and fixed up that machitza. He turned it into a machitza. Nitalta bakulay. Why can't you go ahead and carry throughout the entire enclosure, irrelevant of its size? We'll get to that in a second. Well, what is the Gemara referring to? Let's just see the words. Alam Amar Avuna Breda Vishua. Why can't you carry throughout this entire area, even if it's big in size? Why did Avuna Breda Vishua tell us that we're restricted, we're limited to a certain size? Ema Taltan Boy, the only way you could carry under this tree is Ella Beis HaSayim. If it's no larger than a Beis HaSayim. Let's go down to Rashi here. Four lines from the bottom. Ihachi. So Rashi will present the background for this halacha. It's an Aaron-based concept. Ihachi says the Gemara, Da'asuyu bi'odayim. If it's a man-made mechitza, says Rashi, V'roi lo d'tachteo, which is suitable for dwelling, U'lish masada, Asa, why did he do this? Why is he fixing up the tree? To make it a makom dira, place of residence, under which he will dwell, he will sit and watch his field. V'kiva d'mukav l'diru, since this place has been enclosed for the sake of residency, it's a mukav l'diru, it's a proper Rosh Hashanah Yachad. L'talta b'kulei, k'loima, says Rashi, y'talta b'kol kamashu gadol. You shouldn't have a limit in size here. As large as it is, you can carry beneath it. Why? Aloma Amar Rav Huna emetalten by Ella klal Elam ken ena hayve Ella kashir beis asayim kechatzar mishkan. Why did Rav Huna tell us the only way you can carry under the tree is if the total area, total space, isn't greater than a base so asayim? As she says, it's like the chatzar mishkan. Chatzar mishkan was 100 by 50 amma. A base sa'a, place where you can plant a sa'a of seeds, is 50 by 50 am. Chatzar Mishkan was double that, 100 by 50 am. And Rashi says, that shiur has significance. She shiur zeh nosnu chacham. Chacham applied that shiur l'chol hekif. She'en osu l'dir. Any non-residential enclosure must conform to this shiur. V'im gadol hu mikan, if it's larger, have a karmelis, like a karmelis, v'im metalten boy. You cannot carry in that karmelis. Because look, it's a large, although enclosed area, but it's a large, unresidential area. Which gives you the impression like it's a field, a forest, a desert. It's a karmelis, it's a place where you cannot carry midrabbanon. So if it's small in size, if it's up until base sosayim, which is the size of the chatzar mishkan, we use that as a precedent. If it's small enough to be like the Chatzar Mishkan, then it has somewhat of a residential flavor to it, in which case you won't confuse it with a karmelis, with a Rosh Hashanah. But if this large enclosed area, this large non-residential area, is larger than a Beis HaSayim, now it loses its residential element and appears like an open area, like a karmelis. Ve'im etalfun boy el basech arba moisav shalodim. which only allows counting to the four amos, like we just said, Rab. Okay, so that's a general rule. Again, if you have an area which is enclosed, ladira, mukaf ladira, like your front yard, your backyard, which is makam ladira, your house is open to it, it serves your home, it's a residential area, then you can carry within it, irrelevant of its size. It's a bona fide rishus hayachad. But if it's a large enclosed area, which is not a residential area, beneath a tree, some storage area, which is not considered mukaf ladira, then it depends how large it is. If it's no larger than the chatzar mishkan, then it retains its residential flavor. You can carry within that area. But if it's larger than base se'osayim, it's more than 150 by 50 amma, it appears like a karmelis. And since it was not enclosed l'shem dira for residential use, you cannot carry throughout this area. We treat it like a rishis ram, like a karmelis. You can carry within four amis, but no more than that. How does it pertain to us? The one is assuming that under a tree canopy, even if it's a machitza, even if it's halachically an enclosure, it wasn't hukah for ladira. Nobody's living there. So sure, if it's larger than Mesa Asayim, you cannot carry in that place. But the Rabban looks like a karmelis. However, once you've established, we had a kasha. It's not a machitza, it's moving around. No, he went ahead and reinforced the machitza with hutza v'dafna. So once you've come to that point that he himself manually upgraded the machitza, he reinforced the branches so that they stand still and provide machitza. Why did he do this? What was his motive? Says Rashi, because he wants to live there. He wants to stay there and use it as a lookout to watch his fields, which are lying beyond that tree. That's called hukaf ladira. And if that's the case, who cares how large it is? It's hukaf ladira. It was enclosed for residential purpose. So why does Rav Huna tell us the only way you can carry under the tree is if it's up until tusa, which sounds like he's referring to it like a makim shaloi hukaf ladira. But it's not so. If your approach, if your interpretation in this mission is correct, that he himself reinforced the branches, l'shem dira, should be mutter despite its large size. Continues Rashi. Vahai, this tree, given to be a daim hukaf, was manually enclosed. Ula dira, afil yaisim beis asayim l'taltobe. Answers the Gemara on the top line. Mishum dahave dira shetashmishia la'aver. You're right. It was manually enclosed. And it was for the sake of dira. But what type of dira? Does he really want to live under the tree? The purpose of this dwelling is to serve the area beyond it, the fields beyond it, the aver, the unroofed areas beyond that tree. It's a dira shetashmishia la'aver. Gemara responds, even though it's manually enclosed. So if it was for the sake of this makam, you're right, it's a makam huk of ladira. But this tree is merely a service area for the makam beyond the tree, for the avar beyond it. It now loses its residential aspect. It's not a makam dira per se. It's a service area for a makim aver. And therefore the chacham don't regard it as a true makim dira, and you're bound by the tusa limit. So the chiddush is, even though he himself reinforced the tree in order to live there, but it's not a place of living, it's not a place of dwelling. It's just servicing the aver beyond it. So this area as well is regarded like a semi-dwelling place. It's not really a makim hukaf ladira, and the only way he can carry is if it's small enough, in which case it retains its residential flavor, but if it's too large, it appears like a karmelis. Continues the Gemara. Toshma, listen to this right. So this is referring back to the yisoy that we had, that a mechitza needs to be bound. It can't be swaying back and forth for it to be considered a mechitza. Toshma, Shabbos Batel. This fellow spent Shabbos. So come Friday night, he found himself in a tel, a hill, Shu Gavoya Asora, which was 10 tefachim high. So the surface on top of that tail is considered Rosh Hashayachid. Rashi explains, we apply the concept of good asik, right? If it's 10 by 4, we say the machitas along the side extend upward, and the area on top is considered Rosh Hashayachid. Shavas betel shul gavay asara. V'hu, and the surface on top of this tail, is me'arba amis ad beis osaim, anywhere between 4 amis in size, up until 2 sa'ah. Right? Because if it's beyond 2 sa'ah, it's not really considered a properly enclosed area, as we explained, because it's not hokaf al-dira. So if it's 2 sa'ah or less, then yeah, you consider this place to be enclosed with machitzes. V'chein b'nek, likewise, if he happened to spend Shabbos in a pit, in a crevice on the ground. Shu amakasar, 10 tefachim deep. V'hu ma'arba amis ad beis osaim, again, the surface area being between 4 amis and 2 sa'ah. V'chein chamak tsur, is another example. We have a grain field, a wheat field, and you have in the middle, chamak tsur. Kama stalks which are already harvested. So you have a clearing in the field. And you have stalks still in the ground encircling that clearing. So what's the halacha? Come Shabbos. He wants to take a walk. He can only walk 2,000 amot, Tchum Shabbos. Where is he going to begin measuring Tchum Shabbos? From his personal space where he's standing? Or shall we say, since he was Shabbos, he spent Shabbos in this enclosure, in this Mokim Mukav Machitzes, then we consider this as his Shabbos dwelling, as his Mokim Shvis, like his house. In which case he counts 2,000 Amma only beyond the Machitzes. Says the Bryce, indeed, Mahalach is Kula. He can walk freely throughout this entire enclosure, because it's considered one and the same Mokim. And beyond that, another 2,000 am. So that's the price. Has pertained to us. He's using shiboilis, stalks. The stalks are just swaying back and forth. How is it a machitza? Hasam nami there as well. The avad lebutza bedafna was speaking that he reinforced. He stiffened those stalks using hutza, palm branches, vedafna, branches from a different type of tree. So he went ahead and he created this braided machitza all around him, and he's encircled with a proper machitza, which is unaffected by the winds, and therefore we consider this to be a makam mukaf. It's all considered like his house, like his makam shvisa, in which case he can go ahead and count his 2,000 amma beyond that machitza. Okay, time for a brief chazer of today's daf. So Meir says you cannot use an animal l'doifen l'sukkah, or as the Gemara concludes, it's not considered a mechitza throughout in all the halachas of the Torah. The Gemara provided two reasons: either because a mechitza which is oimedes beruach, something which is supported and sustained with by something which is ruach, intangible, or says ein mamish, it doesn't work. An animal is being sustained by its spirit, whereas other shita maintain that a mechitza has to be asuya bidei adam, as opposed to the animal which doesn't have that quality. We had a machlokes in Rabbi Saglili, who holds that you cannot write a get on a bal chai, learns it from Sefer. And Rabbanu maintain you can write a get on anything that has the ability to retain that kasar. We conclude with the Mishnah that a sukkah between the ilanos is perfectly fine, provided that the branches will not sway back and forth with a ruach metzuya. Kol tov to you and atzlacha rav.